Are you prepared? Are you prepared for the time of light and love, 74 days away and counting? Are you prepared for meeting with Jesus? Tonight we meet someone whose reason for being was for others to meet with Jesus. As Kath said earlier on, we start our new sermon series. We have a banner. I've always wanted to have a banner for a sermon series. Next thing, banner, then donkey. Okay? Kath, can you arrange? We've got the banner. Next, we need the donkey. If you can arrange that, that'd be great. So we're going to be spending some time looking at in, up and out, as Kath said. And we're starting with some of the people who had encounters with Jesus in John's Gospel. And we'll be asking ourselves the question, what does it tell us about Jesus? But what do we learn about this person and how does that apply to us? We're starting off tonight with John the Baptist. And what a start with John the Baptist. In the manse, we have several nativity sets. I love, one, a banner, two, a donkey, but I love a nativity set. Rebecca's nodding, I love a nativity set. Christmas begins when we, not when we turn the Christmas tree lights on, but when we put the nativity sets out. There are several, not just one. And that begins when this stable hits the coffee table. That's when Christmas begins in the manse. And in all the scenes, there is Mary. There's the animals, different ones in each stable. There's the baby Jesus, usually smiling. Wind, I think. In a couple of them, there's Joseph, not all of them. The one I got from Avon doesn't include Joseph. I don't know where he went in the Avon story. Shepherd, king, angel, no Joseph. Poor Joseph. Sermon in there somewhere. There's the Magi. There's the people you expect. But sadly, John the Baptist is missing from each one of my stable scenes. Although he appears in our Christmas readings pretty much every year, you don't find him in the stable. You think, oh, of course he's not. He wasn't preaching at the same time. What are you talking about, Louise? Every year, as we come to Advent, as we tune our ears to the Christmas story, we hear the story of John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, says John the Baptist, quoting from Isaiah. To paraphrase him Louise style, John is saying, people get ready because your world is about to be rocked. Matthew, Mark and Luke picture John the Baptist as some sort of eclectic weirdo camping out in the desert, wearing sandals, eating bugs and honey. But it's a different picture in John's Gospel. And it's not John the Baptist who's the stranger. We heard these words. I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me, and I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. And that phrase grips me every year, every time we hear it around about Advent. There's one standing among you who you don't know. And he's pointing out Jesus, the one who was to come. He's saying, you've got no clue as to what is round the corner, not a Scooby, as to how this world is about to be rocked. People get ready. Someone's coming who you don't know at the moment, but you soon will. So, do you know Jesus? Are you ready for him? Not just at Christmas, where we make a fuss of the teeny tiny baby in the lovely stable, but are you prepared for him now? Is your heart receptive and prepared for the work that he wants to do in you now? The work he wants to do through you now? Because as I sat and thought and prayed about what I should say to you tonight, as I've been living with John the Baptist, as it were, this week, is not a great house guest. He's pointing out who Jesus is, the one who is to come. And I can't help but thinking that the big point of his life, his big message, the plan and the purpose of John the Baptist's life is to point to Jesus, to prepare the way for him. John the Baptist was sent by God to prepare the path towards Christ the Messiah. And people thought that he might be the one who had been prophesied about, the one who'd been prayed for centuries. But John said, no, it's not about me. One who is greater than me is coming. I'm baptizing you with water, but one is coming who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus as a dove. But John's disciples at the time didn't see it. They didn't recognize who Jesus was. John had to point it out to them. He had to tell them, behold the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world. That's the one. He's the guy. He's the Son of God. He's the one I've been telling you about. In fact, his disciples were a bit dim. He had to point it out 2 days running, according to Scripture, before anybody followed Jesus. Then after seeing for themselves, some of John's disciples actually left John and went and followed Jesus. But those looking on couldn't see until John explained. I think John was the first evangelist. An uncomfortable evangelist, John the Baptist, in his strange gear and his locusts and his honey. But he did what our notice board outside the church says. He introduced Jesus to people. That's what he did. And that's our task too. The world keeps looking past Christ and tries to find meaning without him. John the Baptist showed meaning and said he's the one that we should be looking for. The people needed a John the Baptist to show who Jesus was. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the answer that you're looking for. Behold healing and wholeness and shalom. The question I want to ask us all that has convicted me all week is, John pointed his life, pointed others towards Jesus. That was the point of his life. Does your life point to Jesus? A simple question. Does your life point to Jesus? When people see, simple question, difficult answer. When people look at you, when you're going about your daily life, when you're with your work colleagues, when you're having conversations with friends at school, whenever, with family, what do you leave behind? What footprints, what marker? Does your words or actions point to Jesus? Does your life point to Jesus? If the answer is, I'm uncertain tonight, then what is your life pointing towards? In each of our in sessions, we're going to be thinking about an encounter Jesus had with a particular person and asking ourselves, what can we learn from that encounter, from the life of tonight, John the Baptist? We can have no doubt tonight that the life of John the Baptist, he was lived in faithfulness towards God. That first evangelist, as I said, his adult life was characterized by blind devotion and utter surrender to Jesus Christ and his kingdom. John's voice, it says, was a lone voice in the wilderness as he was the only one saying there's a Messiah coming to a people who desperately needed a saviour. He unashamedly shared the good news of Jesus Christ. He was a man filled with faith. He was a role model to those who perhaps want to share our faith with others. But it's bigger than that, because in the life of John the Baptist, we see how God works behind the scenes. John the Baptist was the first prophet called by God since Malachi 400 years before. His own coming, John the Baptist's birth, his life, his ministry had been foretold in Isaiah 700 years previously. And John the Baptist himself quotes about himself. It says this in Isaiah 40, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I love it when God does that, when he masterminds history behind the scenes. He selects John to be a forerunner, to be a special ambassador, to proclaim his own coming. John was from the tribe of Levites. He was the son of Zechariah. We learn about that in the Christmas story. Zechariah was a temple priest. John and Jesus, as we know, were cousins. And we know from the other Gospels that John spent a life apart from others. He lived simply in solitude, a life focused on what God had asked him to do. I've often said, and I'm not quite sure if perhaps this may be slight heresy, I'm sure one of the elders who are here might actually tell me off if this is heresy, maybe out of a job any minute now, but I actually think it's true that John the Baptist was a northerner. I think John the Baptist may actually have come not just from the tribe of Levites, although it doesn't say in scripture, but may have come from Yorkshire. Because it's a selective reading of scripture. Because it seems that he would speak as he found, as it were, that he was a man who did not hold back on what he said. He would call a spade, did John the Baptist. He'd carry no truck. We're off. With no fame or favour, got in the way of him speaking the truth. And that got him into trouble. Oh, it really got him into trouble, the ultimate trouble of losing his head at the end. But at this point in of Scripture, at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, he's in the beginning of the story, which is told in Matthew's Gospel, he's already speaking unpalatable truth to those in power. He's speaking boldly already to the religious leaders of the day, to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He calls them a brood of vipers. That's not a nice thing to say. You're not going to make friends going around calling people a brood of vipers. Did his mother not teach him anything? You can't go around saying things like that. If you've got nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. Don't think Elizabeth said that to her son. He warns the Jewish leaders not to rely on their own lineage, Jewish lineage, for salvation, but to repent and to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. He did what other people would not do. You do not speak like that to the religious leaders of the day. He was fearless when God had given him something to say. But even when all that meant that he'd become famous all of a sudden, when he got followers, his foundation, his reason for being, kept being clear. All along, it was about pointing out who Jesus was, about the coming Messiah, about the miracle that was to come in the life of Jesus. His message was simple. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, it says in Matthew's Gospel. He gives up willingly the spotlight and turns it towards Jesus. John 3:30 says this, "He must become greater, I must become less." And perhaps there's no greater example of humility than the one demonstrated by both John and Jesus. When Jesus comes to Galilee to be baptized by John in the River Jordan. We often dismiss John the Baptist. We laugh at his oddness, his camel's hair cloak, his rich diet. His life is an episode of, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. But this was a man who lived to the end what he believed. And after John the Baptist's death, Jesus says this of him in Luke 7. "I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John." Crumbs, that's an accolade. He died speaking the truth. When others tried to silence him, he couldn't help but speak the truth to those in power. And so quickly, three things that sum up his life. That ask us the question, do we live in the same way? Number one, he lived a life completely wholeheartedly. This was a man who was sold out for Jesus. There was no shades of grey, as it were. There was no second division. I don't know if it's second division. It's not, is it? Is there a second division? What's the one after the top? Okay, who knew? Okay, second division still works as an analogy. There was no second division faith. It was all or nothing. Does that look like your discipleship? Does that look like your life? Doesn't look like mine, if I'm honest. John's life was one of fearless truth telling. He died, he was beheaded, we know the story. His life was an example of that verse in Philippians, to live is Christ and to die is gain. He spoke the truth and helped people repent of their sins. He said things that were not popular to say, but people needed to hear. Things that aren't palatable. People don't like to hear that God will judge us, that we are sinners. People like to hear that God loves them, and God does love you, but he will also judge us. And that's why we need forgiveness. But people don't like to hear that bit, do they? That's an unpalatable truth. Are we a people who speak the truth? Even when it's not easy to listen or easy to say. And the third thing that I think is a great example from John's life is that he stood firm no matter what life threw at him, no matter what the circumstances were. In 2 Timothy, Paul reminds Timothy that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, for many of us who live in freedom, persecution takes on a very mild form. We're really not persecuted in this country. We have brothers and sisters around the world who know what that looks like. John the Baptist knew about persecution. It was his beliefs, his message, his continual rebuke of King Herod that lands him in prison and ultimately kills him. As Christians, we're all going to have times when our faith is put to the test. We'll all have choices to make. Will we falter? Will we stand firm? Will we cling to Christ and stand firm in our faith or not? And you might be thinking, crumbs, Louise, you're a bit serious tonight. It's not all froth and bubble like usually, Louise. Serious, not, yeah, I know. It is. Serious message from John the Baptist. John the Baptist, his life pointed to Jesus. Does yours? Does mine? Does this church point to Jesus? May we be obedient. May our lives point always to Jesus. Amen. Shall I pray? It would fill the space. And I actually think we might need to pray after that, actually, don't you think? Let's pray. Lord God, I know that you've challenged me as I've been thinking about John the Baptist this week. And I suspect that you've challenged others in the life of this hero of faith. Lord God, you often ask us to step out in faith, that faith is spelt risk. So, Heavenly Father, we ask you to challenge us in our discipleship. If we are coasting along in our faith, Lord God, and we're not in the place you want us to be, challenge us. Lord God, you are a jealous God who yearns for us to have our eyes turned towards you. Show us what that might look like in our lives. What wholehearted obedience, what lived out discipleship might look like. Give us courage when we need it. In complicated lives, to live out our faith on our front lines. And oh God, send us your Holy Spirit to confirm your truth in our lives, but to give us courage. We pray. Amen.